Dr. Jeffrey Halstead has been Canandaigua's hometown dentist for more than 35 years, offering routine dental care as well as cosmetic dentistry, implants, and dentures by their highly trained and experienced staff. Visit them online at canandaiguadentistry.com or find them on Facebook and Instagram.
Do you want to know what's happening in the Finger Lakes? We do too. We're going in depth with decision makers in the heart of upstate New York to get the answers you need. From the team of FingerLakes1.com, this is Inside the FLX.
All right, it is time for our monthly update from Auburn Mayor Jimmy Giannettino. He joins us via Zoom to talk all things city government. Mayor, thanks for taking the time. Let's start here. What were your biggest takeaways from city council action this month?
It was a pretty smooth transition. We've got a great team. We have two new city councilors in the mix. They've brought themselves up to speed pretty quickly. We all recognize the tremendous opportunities in front of us. And as we get into budget season this year, looking to make sure that the financial house is in order, which we just had our audit report last week, and things seem to be pretty good. Got a new comptroller, so that was good for her to kind of work through that audit and us all be confident that things are in order. Everything seems to be business as usual. Like I said, the transition went very smoothly.
How important is that audit, getting that clean bill of health for the city, in terms of you guys not only being able to transition smoothly, but operate with some confidence here moving into the future?
It's extremely important. Municipal governments, when we take on projects, typically you have to borrow money to do that. They're multi-million dollar projects, and every municipality does that. But you want to make sure that you're within the limits of what you can afford, that our fund balance is in order in case you have some type of financial emergency. And all those things came back clean. And I was very happy to see that.
Yeah. Let's talk about some environmental news that we got within the last week, I believe. $1.2 million is coming to protect Owasco Lake. Obviously, the city has been on the forefront of advocating for protections to Owasco Lake. How much confidence do you have seeing the state invest that kind of money to protect Owasco Lake moving forward here?
That's a component of it. And I'm happy to see that anytime there's funding that comes forward to buy up land, to keep land, from use, that's important. But that's only one component of it. And, another component of it is the rules and regulations, which, we have undergone a lawsuit against New York State because we don't feel that they've acted in good faith in that area. We're hoping sometime in March that'll initially be heard in the courts. I will give credit where credit's due, and I'm glad to see that they are investing that type of money in land use. But that's just a component of it. So we'll see what happens with the rules and regulations. Obviously, the position that the council has taken that we are required to have a total maximum daily load as per federal law for Owasco Lake, and that's another avenue that we will continue to pursue.
What would you, if you were kind of gaming this out a bit, what would you like to see, or what would city council like to see from the state in terms of those rules and regs around water quality to maybe not necessarily have to go all the way forward with litigation, which I would imagine could probably take some time?
Sure. All the state needs to do is accept the rules and regulations as they were sent to them by the town of Owasco and the city of Auburn. And that was a 3-year process that the state was directly involved in. I say it all the time. The state had two options. They could be the superhero or the villain. We wrapped up the tights and the cape, put them in a box, put them in the phone booth so that they could walk in there and put on the superhero outfit. And they chose to be the villain. And it's quite simple. Just accept those rules and regulations as they were passed, and we can move on.
Yeah. Couple items here to touch on from the last 3 or 4 weeks or so. Concerns about the Lake Avenue Bridge rehabilitation. City Council had some concerns about how this would work, what closure would mean, and things like that. Sure. Can you give us some background on what the concerns are?
Sure. So, Lake Gap Bridge is a major bridge in the city of Auburn. It's a direct artery to Owasco Lake, to Auburn High School, and two plans were presented to us by city staff and the engineers that are involved. We could do a complete shutdown, or we could shut down half one construction season and half the other construction season. One of the arguments for closing it all down at once and just using one construction season is A, it will take less time, B, it will cost less money, and C, structurally, it will be a better product because you won't have a construction joint down the middle of the bridge. That all makes sense. But my concern and concerns of the rest of council was there are students that live on the north side of the bridge that have to walk to school, and they would have to take a detour. And that detour would probably add about a mile to their walk. And I wanted our city staff to meet with the school district and ask the school district what their appetite was for busing all those students. And that meeting happened this week, and the school district has committed to doing that. And their input was shut the bridge down. We'd rather have one construction season than two. And the other thing is, if you're shutting down half and then the other half, it puts not only the workers on that bridge at risk, but also pedestrians walking and people driving. So it will be painful for one construction season to have that bridge shut down, but it seems like everything has fallen in line and that's going to be the best choice going forward.
Yeah. And then another story from the last 3 or 4 weeks or so involved a proposed homeless shelter. There's been some confusion about what is or isn't going on with that. Can you give us a status update on where that stands right now?
Sure. So I think some of the confusion is that it's a city funded and initiated project. It is a project that's initiated by Cayuga County, and they are working with Housing Visions and the Rescue Mission and providing some ARPA funding for that, because ultimately, by state law, the county is responsible for the unhoused population. So there are some neighbors in that area that are upset and concerned. And listen, they've come to city council meetings, and I'm glad that they are, because this is part of the process. And this is what I've told them, there is a public process for a reason, but that this project is going in front of the city planning board, not the city council. We will not have a vote on it. So all their input has been passed on to the planning board. It has been passed on to the county legislature. I have encouraged those neighbors, to keep coming and speaking, because that's their right, and we need to hear what their concerns are, and those concerns need to be taken in as that project is considered by the planning board. I've also encouraged them to reach out to the county legislature, which they actually did. And I was at the county legislature meeting last night, and some of the neighbors did show up and they shared their concerns. The project is still an active project that is going through the process. But I do know that the county is weighing those concerns. I do think the developer is weighing those concerns, and hopefully everybody can work together to come to a reasonable conclusion.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about economic development if we could. We heard through a press release in the last month or so that the county and the city are going to be working together. When you look ahead to the next, say, 4 or 5 years, obviously with the Micron development, there's got to be a lot of optimism. When you think about working with the county, though, what are some of the goals that you'd like to see for the city side in terms of economic development?
Yeah, we need to be in lockstep. It is important that Auburn and Cayuga County gets on the same page in terms of economic development and other topics, but we'll stick to economic development. Chairperson Aileen McNabb Coleman and myself, we talk weekly. Now that they've hired a county manager, which they did last night, I'm hoping that the county manager, the city manager, myself, and the chairperson of the legislature will have monthly meetings. Economic development will be a key component of that. I believe that a one-stop shop for economic development is vital. We've been told that by the major players. Like, if somebody wants to come here and they want to redevelop the Bombardier site, they need to know where to go. And right now, the Cayuga Economic Development Agency, that board has commissioned a study by a consultant that is interviewing all of those involved, including myself, members of city government, to kind of get our input on what the issues are and how we can I guess adjust the structure of CUGA Economic Development Agency if necessary, adjust the funding mechanisms if necessary, but coming up with a solid plan going forward. And as you read in the press release, my opinion is we have one opportunity to get this right. And this is that opportunity, and we have to be serious about this. There's been a lot of political games over the years with CETA, and those things need to stop. Myself and Chairperson Aileen McNabb Coleman were just at the Regional Economic Development Council meeting in Syracuse. It's the first time, I think, that both the mayor and the chair of the legislature have been at one of those meetings together. That was recognized, and I think that's important. Yeah. We need to advocate for Auburn and Cayuga County. And you know, my opinion, even though I'm the mayor of Auburn, my opinion is economic development, it's a one-size-fits-all approach. And if something in terms of economic development comes to the southern end of the county or the northern end of the county, that's good for Auburn. And if something comes to Auburn, that's good for the northern end and the southern end of the county. We're all in this together, and we need to take that mindset going forward.
How much of this feels a bit like a game of simplifying something that's frankly been a little too complicated over the last decade?
100%. I think sometimes government is their own worst enemy. I believe that government exists for a reason, but sometimes we're our own worst enemy. And I'm very encouraged in the first 2 months in terms of the amount of communication between both governments. And I think that that's important.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Medicaid funding gap. The city has obviously passed a resolution earlier this month urging the gap to be closed between actual and expected costs. Obviously, this is an issue across the state. What were sort of the expectations of passing this resolution, and what would you like to see at the state level to fix this, if not bridging the gap completely?
Yeah, so we were approached by our friends at SEIU 1199, which is the union that represents local nurses, and they identified this as a major issue in the state budget, and they explained to us why. We have a rural hospital here in Auburn. You know, we're a city, but it's still considered a rural hospital that relies on Medicaid reimbursements basically to stay in business. Now we operate an ambulance service. And Medicaid reimbursements are a component of that because we do transport people who are on Medicaid. Just like AIM funding from the state of New York, Medicaid reimbursements have not kept up with the rate of inflation. And to try to balance the budget on basically the backs of poor people by cutting Medicaid funding, it just doesn't make any sense to me. If we have money for all these pet projects, and I, full disclaimer, we've been the recipients of that funding at times, DRI, things of that nature, then we have to have funding to properly fund Medicaid reimbursements. You're putting the financial risk of a rural hospital such as Auburn Community Hospital at risk, and it needs to be addressed.
What is your message to lawmakers, the state, Governor Hochul, when it comes to some of these state issues that we see really that could have a big impact on a city like Auburn? I think of, you know, the prospect of prison closures. Obviously, Auburn doesn't appear to be near the top of that list, but there's always that concern or that threat. And then, of course, when you're talking about funding to something like Auburn Community Hospital, which is a big employer for the city and for the county, what's your message to state leaders when these things sort of seem to annually hang in the balance?
Yeah. I would say do a better job at reaching out to local government to see how your decisions are going to impact them. We're the ones on the front lines. I can tell you that our state senator, Rachel May, that's one of her strongest attributes is she engages with us and she listens to us. I've been involved in government for 8 years. I've dealt with a number of state representatives, some good, some bad. Rachel May sets herself apart because you can just tell when you're talking to her that she's listening to you and taking in what you're saying. And I wish there was more of that. I had high hopes for Governor Hochul. When she was lieutenant governor, she would come here and she would say, listen, I get it. I came from local government. I wish that she would use that experience to reach out to us and say, how is this decision going to affect local government? AIM funding is a perfect example. It was cut 16 years ago. There hasn't been an increase since. We've seen double-digit inflation. We see continuous mandates from the state, things like $15 an hour minimum wage. Whether you're for it or against it, what it effectively does is it raises a municipality's cost, because if you're paying $15 an hour to entry level, then those who have 10, 15, 20 years into a career, they're expecting an adjustment as well. And again, whether you agree with it or you're opposed to it, you have to pay for it. And if there are no adjustments from the state and those funding mechanisms, then it's just not sustainable. And if we're going to continue to push this idea of an affordable New York, we can't keep raising property taxes. So I wish there was a better listening game from the state of New York.
Yeah. Mayor, appreciate the time. As always, we'll talk to you next month.
Thank you, Josh. Have a great weekend.